of customer care that is in there, in a way that if you pay through our system, you will immediately halt the collections process. And that last sentence that is everywhere in those emails, if you have already paid, please disregard this message. Well, if the message wasn't sent at all, maybe it would be better. So that kind of synchronization is also a big advantage in the way that we do things.
My guest today is Pedro Mendez. He is the founder of Invisible Collector, and they're a software as a service platform. And where are you based, Pedro?
Porto, Portugal, in Europe.
I'm sure it's very lovely there, although I know you said today was raining.
Rainy. It doesn't rain that much. It rains more than most of the cities in this region of the world, but it shouldn't be as rainy today as it is, but okay.
So maybe we can start off with, what is Invisible Collector?
Well, it's if you look at a typical credit collection agency full of people making phone calls, you can, using our system, forget all that, get the same service faster and in a digital context. So it's basically a system where you can collect your overdue debts without the need to have collectors on your payroll.
Oh, excellent. Okay. So how did the company get started, and how long ago?
So we founded the company in 2016. Both me and my two co-founders, Miguel and João, we were friends for many, many years. And one day we were sitting in a coffee, and Miguel was a bit frustrated with the lack of automation in his work. And he started telling, well, I'm a professional collector. I work in the second largest European company in the business, and I have to process payments in a 20-year-old IBM system.
Oh, wow.
Which they sell, it's top-notch for the industry. And me and João got shocked. So everyone is talking about IoT, AI, and you don't even have automation. So we started asking a couple of companies from all sizes and different businesses how they did manage debt, and very poorly from what we could observe. There was no science, there was no logging. And within that context, we say, well, maybe you can build something to explore this space. And so in those 2 years, we developed several prototypes that we put in some companies, mostly industry companies. And we signed up for a couple of innovation programs, like the one in my back, which belongs to the largest electricity company here in Portugal. And we were successful with several pilot experiences that started with, firstly, automation, and on later stages, like most of the business that we're doing now, with already some analytics that come from applying AI to the space, like deciding automatically when to contact or when to reach the debtor, how to split debtors into significant clusters. And that has been raising the amount of money that actually gets collected when comparing with traditional approaches.
And what type of companies do you typically work with? Like, who would use Invisible Collector?
As of now, we're mostly focusing on 2 to 3 verticals. We're working with companies that have a lot of invoices or that have a lot of things to receive, but of relatively small amount. So we're working with electricity companies, water distributors, gas distributors. That is a space. Then we have the telco space, and here in Portugal, we're going to start within the context of a partnership to work with Vodafone, for instance.
Oh, wow.
Then we're working with banks. We're banks, mostly banks that have some department that does consumer finance. They fund cars. If you want to do some remodeling in your home and want to split that into several months, the whole payment, those types of companies that do that type of loaning, it's also a very interesting space for us. And then there's the B2B space and the B2B services, where we have suppliers for let's say for hotels, the health sector as well, consumables for dentists.
Oh wow! Okay, so there's quite
those invoices are not as small, but it's also a space where we're removing.
So the competitors that you're competing against are more traditional debt collection firms.
Yes, traditional competitors occupy 90 to 95% of the market. It's about a $70 billion market.
Oh, wow.
And it's mostly occupied by traditional competitors. And you can see here and there some more digital-oriented competitors rising up. But having a digital base, if you go to that specific, it's a bit rare yet.
So the difference between what you're doing and what they're doing, is it just the technology, or like what's the experience for a company that uses Invisible Collector?
Well, it's not that just the technology. The way that the system introduces itself within the flow, the commercial flow of the company, actually makes some changes, or as I like to say, it prevents changes. I don't know if you or anyone that might be listening to this, if you ever left an internet invoice unpaid. Up until that day, you may have received marketing emails. They're all pretty and all HTML designed with all that tracking. And if you default just one single invoice, the next one is going to be a plain text email that says, please pay me or you're going to regret you have been born. And that happens. That is an industry standard. And on saturated markets, it's a terrible thing to happen because you must have internet. So if you are not paying those guys, maybe there's something that is preventing you from paying. Like if you had no service or no quality service for that month, if you got unemployed. In any case, if you recover, with that kind of message, you will never look the same way to those guys again, and they are competitors. So it is a system that tries to have or that achieves a more consistent communication between the creditor company and the end debtor. And this kind of approach really makes the difference. And there's automation. So in automation, there's a lot of customer care that is in there. In a way that if you pay through our system, you will immediately halt the collections process. And that last sentence that is everywhere in those emails, if you have already paid, please disregard this message. Well, if the message wasn't sent at all, maybe it would be better. So that kind of synchronization is also a big advantage in the way that we do things.
So what's the kind of the comparison of, you know, is there a difference in success rates or retention of customers?
Yes, I can. Just for instance, our banking customers, when they started with us, all their portfolios, they were collecting 69 to 75% of their portfolios being sent to these traditional competitors. And we kickstarted our operation immediately with 79-80.
Oh, wow.
And you're talking about an extra 5% on 80, on 75. And now the average is on 85 to 86. And it keeps increasing. So there is a big difference. There is a really big difference that is maybe even more important if you're working in the market where the interest rate may be a little bit higher than zero.
Yeah, which is weird that. I don't know. You know, it's a very, very strange world out there for interest rates.
In any case, if you ask for a loan, they won't charge you zero. So
right,
sometimes sometimes you need that money to continue operation.
Yeah, it makes sense. So what's the financial model for customers that are working with Invisible Collector? How does the SaaS platform work?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit of story. We started it as a traditional SaaS company, charging a monthly fee that unlocked additional features as the monthly fee got higher. We had zero sales with that.
Oh boy!
because people thought, well, I buy X for my ERP, and this is going to cost me 30% of that. It's too expensive. So we took a look at our traditional competitor and say, hey, our discharging, yeah, let's do the same. So we now have customers that declined the first proposals and signed up for these new ones, and they're paying the same or more. But now they think it's cheaper. We charge a setup fee per depth that can be zero, and let's say $1 for each depth that gets managed in the system. And then we have the plus, which is a commission for being successful, a success fee. That ranges from 0.5% to 9%. It really depends on the probability that we have on collecting that specific debt. So it is as simple as that. Two numbers.
That's great. So what advice would you give to anyone that's getting started in a SaaS or a, you know, a startup business? Like, you've obviously been over the last 4 years, you've gone.
Yeah.
Your number one takeaway.
I'd say that, so to avoid our biggest mistake, that was to navigate on uncharted pricing waters. I'd say that customers tend to form the prices in their heads based on some kind of comparison, and they're always right on that point. So there's no really reason to fight them on that. So once we gave them something comparable, something to put on their minds, you can compare our price with this supplier. Don't compare us with ERPs. Compare us with your lawyers. And they went there and they saw, well, my lawyers are charging a 20% success fee, and these guys have a digital approach and they're charging me 9. So maybe my lawyers are expensive and not these guys.
Right.
And that was a big shift in how we approach new customers. And it has been allowing us to scale a lot faster since we had this new message.
And what is your sales model? How do people find you, or how do you get in touch with customers?
Well, since we're working mostly with corporates, we have, and we're fine tuning the pipeline, but we're with a direct sales model, as of now. So we have, a couple people working on generating leads, mostly on LinkedIn. The typical person that buys or that decides to buy this is usually someone, or the CFO, or someone from the collections department of a given company. And we generate interest by sending presentations, quick videos to those CFOs, and then we arrange either meetings, online meetings nowadays, and we offer paid or free trials that have immediate conversion, and with that we put them in our portfolio. Things go as now they're usually going. This model is, the idea is to stabilize this model, and we're building up a couple of tools that will let not, I wouldn't say SMEs, but medium companies, medium B2B service companies sign up for things online. That is still not at that point where I could say this is going to be a huge channel in 2 to 3 months, but in a semester, it is possible that this channel will start generating some revenue as well.
Terrific. So it sounds like a lot of your technology you've built. What are kind of the big things that you put in place around? I know you talk a lot about automation, but what are some of the tools that have really allowed you to be successful?
So we've been using clustering algorithms that proves to be really helpful. It goes, and that allows us even on a base stage to use statistical methods to compare portfolios automatically. So the base idea and the basic social idea behind this is that if I treat every person differently, I will be more successful. Even if I don't have enough data to reach that, if I split it into significant statistical clusters, I am going to improve my way of interacting with them. Because it's very different to interact with someone that is 60 years old and lives very far from a big city to a millennial that lives in the center of New York. So the way that I communicate, the channels that I use, how many times should I try to reach them, everything can be studied, and I shouldn't treat everyone as the same. So in terms of our current stage, that is potentially the biggest key factor in our success. Then there are other things. We've developed a quite extensive integration pool with CRMs that are interactive. If we are not being successful in reaching out customers, for instance, if we have a file that is within the system for more than 2 weeks and the customer, our customer, is expecting to get things collected in a month, we activate the workflow automatically to try to ask him to update the customer details, because there's something there that is a bit wrong, like the phone number he gave us is not working and has never worked since we got it. The email is almost always full, and when the message gets delivered, it is never read. So if there is a different contact, maybe our customer can update it. So that kind of pipeline really makes a difference.
I want to be conscious of your time, Pedro, so I'll wrap with a couple quick things. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, through the website, through our LinkedIn, our sales guys. So it's basically the methods that we have available.
What's the contact details?
Well, they can reach us if they want some kind of information to info@invisiblecollector.com. That will be the quickest way to get in touch with us.
Great. What's the future of Invisible Collector?
We want to get a bigger part of that huge market. We think we can get there. The future would be if you want to search something online, you go to Google. If you want to collect something, you go to Invisible Collector. That would be the perfect scenario.
I love it. That sounds very promising. The final thing is, when we meet interesting founders of SaaS companies, we like you to nominate other interesting founders. So we're looking for anyone that has a software as a service. We typically talk to people with marketing or sales automation, but definitely not limited to that. So I'm wondering if you have someone that you'd like to nominate as a future guest on the Automate and Grow SaaS Founder Profile.
Let me think. I have a couple of things that I like. Let me just do a 20-second search in my index. There's an interesting company here in the accelerator. They're called Hype Labs. Well, they are not specifically a SaaS, but they do have a networkless communication SDK that allows you to have communication between two devices without having internet presence. They have a couple of military projects and pilot projects with Greenpeace. So it may be interesting to reach out to those guys.
Terrific. Do you know them by any chance?
Yes. It's Carlos Lay.
Terrific. Okay, so Hype Labs, you've been nominated by Pedro to be a future guest on the SaaS Founders Profile. I got to come up with a name for this, but we'll figure it out. Pedro, I want to thank you for your time today, and I look forward to staying in touch with you over the future and see how Invisible Collector does.
Okay, Michael. Thanks so much for your time as well.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye then.